First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, it's not Alan Nathan. It's Karen Cataline filling in for Alan while he's on assignment, but it is always a pleasure to be with you. We have another great hour of guests and conversation, issues, broad range of issues in these astonishing times that we're living in. And our next guest is no exception, founder of the Genesis 123 Foundation, which is supporting emergency needs of Israelis. He lives in Israel and has a son and son-in-law currently serving in the IDF. Jonathan Feldstein joins us right now. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Good evening from Israel. It's a pleasure to be with you. Just one correction. I have two sons and a son-in-law serving in the army right now.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Two sons. That's a lot. It is such a pleasure to talk to you. And gosh, you know, before we dive into all of these many issues, can Americans possibly understand what you're going through and how you're dealing with this? And I know that you look at the media, at the American media, and the propaganda that has found itself on our doorstep, misinforming the public about Israel. Your thoughts on both of those?
Yeah, well, first of all, I am a dual citizen, American and Israeli. I grew up in the U.S., went to college, started my family in the U.S., and I'm only here in Israel 20 years. It seems like a lifetime, but no, for good and for bad, Americans, the closest Americans can come to understanding what we're going through is if you lived in perhaps geographic distance of the Twin Towers on 9/11 or the Pentagon, and you felt like you were actually physically under attack. And that only lasted for a short period. But this is our existence here. We send our kids to the army. We build bomb shelters as part of our house. That's standard construction. We have enemies who are sworn to destroy us. And I'm thrilled that Americans don't have to live through what we live every day. But part of me hopes that people could understand a little bit and just be very supportive in even not understanding that this is a black and white issue and Israel needs to be supported.
I think that the great majority of Americans do understand and are sympathetic and supportive. I am sorry to say I don't believe that the current administration and certainly their allies, the radical propagandists in the media who do their dirty work are sympathetic at all, because they perpetuate propaganda and lies. And in less than a year, they've succeeded in turning Israel into the bad guy and Hamas and Hezbollah into victims. And they're in the process of doing it again. Your thoughts?
Well, you're right about that, but it's an historic process that predates the October 7th last year. Israel's always been blamed as the victim, as the aggressor. We had a short moment in 1967 following the Six-Day War, which is miraculous. But I was doing another interview with somebody recently just a few hours ago, and I explained that I really think that the problem is the world expects or accepts that it's okay for us to have to invest billions of dollars in air defense. It's okay that we have to have the disproportionate expense in our military that we do on a per capita basis. It's okay that today, throughout Israel, hundreds of times, People have been sent to their bomb shelter all across Israel, and there have been direct hits and injuries as a result. And we are put as the aggressor when we either fight back or attack preemptively, as we've been doing in many cases throughout Lebanon, certainly in the last week, in order to take out the Hezbollah leaders and the Hezbollah position. I will say this. In the last year, it's definitely become more black and white. And how on earth it is that people fault Israel and find Israel as the aggressor when it's Hamas, Hezbollah, the Iranian Islamic regime that are the genocidal enemies, not just of Israel and the United States, but Jews and Christians. We just need to come together on that.
Yeah. Well, of course. And it's almost as if, you can't call it a double standard. It's almost as if people who are either ill-informed or malicious believe that we cannot ask more of terrorists. We can't ask them to be, the Geneva Convention and all of that and not attack civilians as they did almost a year ago. And that somehow Israel must be held to a much higher standard while fighting enemies who love death and put their children in harm's way on purpose.
I'm so glad you said that, because I am a very proud Israeli. I'm a very proud Jew. I'm a very proud American. And yet I don't want the harm to come to our Arab neighbors. We're praying that, yes, if we have to beat them, we'll beat them. But what you just identified is a symptom of gross discrimination against Arabs,
yes.
Because it says, well, they're just Arabs, they're just Muslims, boys will be boys, this is how they behave, we shouldn't hold them to a higher standard, and that's obscene.
Exactly. Well, our listeners know, even though I'm filling in, that I am a MOT, member of the tribe. And, of course, like all American Jews, I was horrified and deeply disheartened at the betrayal of the American administration with regard to Israel and the desire to completely flip the narrative, as they have so brazenly done, in the face of the fact that most Americans do support Israel, because they're not ignorant. They do know. They remember. They have a sense of history. For those who don't happen to be Jewish, and I always say, and you probably agree, that we're just the canaries in the mine shaft. You know,
yep.
They never just stop with the Jews, ever. Often we're the first, but never the last. People would ask, for our listeners who don't happen to understand, why an American would jump from the seeming frying pan into the fire to move to Israel. What do you tell them?
Well, first of all, my father was born here in 1937. He gave me a name that he never could pronounce. And he, in 1937, he had an accent to the last day of his life. And in 1937, he, until 1948, was considered a Palestinian, because Jews were the only people who were called Palestinians, which also underscores the made-up nature of the ethnicity that claims that we don't have any roots or rights here. Having said that, you know, God did promise to Abraham through his descendants, Isaac and Jacob, that he would deed us this land. And it's like the greatest gift ever to be able to live here, raising your children. As of this week, my fourth grandson was born, and to be part of building our future here in the land, it's not easy. It doesn't come without its problems. But I will tell you this, my children, five of the six of whom were born in America, thank us for making the move 20 years ago. They know that their quality of life is better. They know we know if you see this all over America today, it's uncomfortable to unsafe to be identifiable as a Jew. When I was just on my last trip throughout the states, I felt more uncomfortable in parts of the U.S. than I did on my layover in Dubai on the way home and on the way.
Wow. And I've heard that. I have heard that from many, many people When is it time for Israel, for Jews to move to Israel, when they're killing Jews on the street, which they are doing in America now? Astonishing times that we're living in. You've graciously agreed to stay with us for another segment if your voice holds out. So yeah. Drink something, because we really want you for another segment. And I want to tease the audience as to what we're going to talk about, because this is what we were supposed to talk about anyway. And that is, but you know, this is a huge topic. And that is, at a time of potential war, there might be a solution for peace in Gaza. And you're going to talk to us about it. So thank you so much for staying with us. We're talking to Jonathan Feldstein, and we will be back on the Ellen Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network right after this. Don't go away.
Well, I'm so excited to be here today to kick off our Sisterhood of Strength campaign in support of BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So Knitwell Group houses 8 iconic brands, and we've got 45,000 associates. Most of them are women, and we reach 20 million customers, women customers. So Sisterhood of Strength campaign is really an important initiative for us in support of BCRF. By bringing together our amazing brands, Ann Taylor, Loft, White House Black Market, Chico, Soma, Talbots, Lane Bryant, we believe that we can reach the goal of $10 million. There are several ways that you can get involved, but most importantly, head to one of our stores. We've got 3,000 stores across the country, and all of our associates are ready to welcome you and talk about how you can support the cause. Go online to bcrf.org or knitwellgroup.com and inform yourself on how you can support the Sisterhood of Strength campaign.
September is National Recovery Month, and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is raising awareness of substance use resources for veterans.
I'm Dr. Joseph Liberto, National Mental Health Director, Substance Use Disorders at VA. We want veterans to know that any time is the right time to start recovery. VA has resources to help veterans find hope and healing from unhealthy substance use, no matter where they are in their journey.
VA offers many different treatments tailored to each veteran's unique path to recovery.
From outpatient care and residential rehabilitation to evidence-based treatments and harm reduction services, there are more options than ever for veterans to receive world-class support for substance use at VA. If you're concerned about your alcohol or drug use, reach out for support. We can help you find a path to recovery and a healthier life.
Find support for you or your loved one at www.va.gov/recovery.
Welcome back to the Ellen Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Ellen today. We are in the midst of a very interesting conversation with Jonathan Feldstein, all the way from Israel. He's founder of the Genesis 123 Foundation, supporting emergency needs of Israelis. He lives in Israel, who has 2 sons and a son-in-law currently living and serving in the IDF. Jonathan, thank you for being kind enough to stay with us a second segment. We appreciate it.
Of course. I'm glad to be with you. Thank you.
So let's dive in, as they say, into this idea that there may be a solution for peace in Gaza to overcome the genocidal anti-Israel ideology and give Gazans a vision of peace and coexistence through changing their hearts. Wow, that's a tall order. Lay it on us. Why? How? How do you do that?
Yeah. So I wrote an article back in December on Christmas, just really to be edgy, saying that the solution for peace in Gaza is Jesus. Not pandering, but just really to shake up the notion that you mentioned the administration and too many others kind of reflexively say the only solution can be 2 states, a Palestinian and a Jewish state. And what's nonsense, there are many elements about that are nonsense. because the Palestinian Arabs don't want their own state. They want the destruction of the Jewish state, and Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran are all trying to destroy us, not live alongside us. So especially after October 7th, this needs to be called out. And I wrote this article, and a lot of my Christian friends said to me, Jonathan, I think you're onto something. Now, of course, they got excited that I'm talking to them. I'm an Orthodox Jew talking about Jesus, right? So that was great. But I was really writing it to the edgy. And the more these conversations got deeper, and they did, I accepted their nudging and correct observation that there is no other solution. And so what we're proposing, and I invite everyone to go to solutionforpeaceingaza.com for information, to sign up, to get information, to be part of what we're doing, is we are calling for hundreds of thousands of Christians to flood Gaza as part of rebuilding and rehabilitating Gaza, because Gaza does need to be rebuilt and rehabilitated. And my dream, if it were daytime, I could look out the window behind me, and about 40 miles to the west is the Gaza coast. And my dream is to be able to drive an hour and a half to go to the Gaza beach and get a kosher hamburger one day. That's the kind of peace that I envision. But in order to change peace, and Prime Minister Netanyahu said it succinctly when he spoke in Congress back in the summer, Gaza needs to be demilitarized and de-radicalized. And we're in the process of demilitarizing it, but the radicalization that's been inbred for now 100 years, it's not just 17 or 18 years under Hamas rule and the PLO before that, it's a century of radicalization, of brainwashing, that needs to be undone. And I believe that by Christians going in and showing the love of Jesus, commanded to love everybody, Jews and Arabs alike, that they will expose Gazans to a genuine love that they've never known before, experienced before, and can't understand. And when they interact with people who love the God of Israel, who love the people of Israel, and understand the prophetic significance of the state of Israel, then we can have peace.
Well, that one I have not heard before, especially from an Orthodox Jew. And while we have seen that the most outspoken, not just pro-Israel, but most courageous Muslims, many, not all, have converted to Christianity and are great advocates for peace, I guess I want to give a little pushback just to see what you'd say. I don't, disagree that if that happens, some value could happen. But Jews were told for years and centuries that if they would just be Christian, then all their problems would be solved. And you and I both know how infuriating that is, especially since Judaism is the father religion to Christianity in the first place. And then they're telling us we're doing it wrong. Now, thank God, Jews and Christians, especially conservatives who love the Constitution and peace and Israel, thank God they're accepting each other's religious differences. But, how infuriating is it to a Muslim to be told, if you would just convert to Christianity, all will be well? We know how it makes us feel.
So it's a good question, and I'm not a Muslim, so I can't answer that. I will say this. I believe that if Gazans realize that Allah has failed them, that this radicalization that they've been imbued with and hijacked by for all these generations has gotten them nothing but pain and suffering. And I mentioned Dubai. If you look at Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, that only became independent in 1971, albeit with all of their oil money, they've built an incredible society, and the Gazans should be wanting that. But they've never been exposed to something that's broader and loving. And will they all embrace it? I'm not saying everyone needs to go and become a Christian. That's between them and God. I don't know who. I'm not checking anyone's faith at the door. That's up to them. But I just believe that if they are exposed to something that's loving, that's exposed to something that's peaceful, exposed to something that gives them hope, then they will necessarily eventually follow through and replicate that. And I'll tell you, when you go to solutionforpeaceingaza.com, go to the page that says what world leaders are saying. I think that's what we call it. And you'll find quotes from Matthew Miller in the State Department and John Kirby, all of whom say Hamas can't be defeated ideologically except with a better ideology. And so there is no better ideology, and I do believe that. But you know what? I'll be provoked all day and all night with a great question like you just asked. All I know is that the reflexive two-state solution is nonsense. It won't bring peace and continue to create suffering and death. So if people really want – and again, I'm an Orthodox Israeli Jew. I'm what they call in the pejorative a settler because I live over the green line in what they call pejoratively the West Bank. I'm not a radical extremist. I want our Arab neighbors to live well and prosper. And I want that more than Ilhan Omar does. And therefore, I'm proposing an actual solution at solutionforpeaceingaza.com that can actually realize that. And unless someone has the better solution, you know, it's like in the movie Argo. No, you don't have a better bad solution than that. Unless someone has a better bad solution, then no, then this is the solution. It's actually going to
work.
Well,
it's very intriguing. Never heard it before. Personally, I think that the idea of bringing love and tolerance to an area in which they've been bathed in Jew hatred, bathed in worship of death, that somehow they're going to have the best happiness by dying is a good one. Well, very intriguing. Tell everybody again where they can find you.
SolutionForPeaceInGaza.com and Genesis123.co.
Jonathan, I know the Christians are loving you now. And we do too, because, you know, there's room for all kinds of opinions. Thank you so much, Jonathan Feldstein. We're going to be back right after this on The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned. Much more to come.
As of August 2024, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration confirmed 19 weather-related disasters in the U.S., each causing over $1 billion in losses. Verizon Frontline just released its annual public safety communication survey, collecting data from first responders who aid in rescue and recovery efforts, and found that reliable communication is mission-critical during these events. Maggie Halbach, president of Verizon Frontline.
This year's survey revealed that 65% of respondents identified a reliable and resilient communications network as the most important feature for effective day-to-day or emergency response communications. That's up 14% from last year. Verizon Frontline is proud to say that we deliver reliable, resilient, and secure communications capabilities to more than 40,000 public safety agencies nationwide, making us the number one network choice in public safety.
For more on the survey results or to learn more about Verizon Frontline, go to verizon.com/frontline.
New York Times bestselling author J.C. Cervantes, author of the hit Stormrunner series, introduces The Daggers of Ire, a new middle-grade fantasy novel about sisterhood, magic, and the power of kids to face what grown-ups refuse to see. The book's heroine is a young witch named Esme Santos. Since the death of her mother, Esme is determined to heal her father's grief. She comes across a magic spell that might make her dad whole again, but before she can try, she and her best friend, Tiago, discover that their families and all the town's witches have vanished along with their magic. Now, Esme and Tiago must rescue the town's witches or risk losing their families and their magic forever. Author J.C. Cervantes.
Esme and Tiago embark on an exciting magical adventure throughout the pages of The Daggers of Ire. It's got captivating thrills and action, not to mention big laughs and plenty of heart. My hope is that readers will get lost in the pages and enjoy the magic of this story.
The Daggers of Ire is now available wherever books are sold.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we welcome back a good friend of the program, geologist and executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He's best-selling author of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. Oh my God, them is fighting words. Gregory Wrightstone, thank you for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Yeah, good to be back on with you again. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak truth and provide the facts of what's really happening.
Yes, well, that's what you're here to do. So we're just starting to get, not everywhere, a little hint of autumn in the air. Not so much in places like Arizona and Nevada and Georgia. But in Nevada, in order to lower power bills, you're saying Nevada needs to cut back on its green energy mandates. Explain to everybody why that is, and will they do it?
Despite their claims of solar and wind being much more affordable than oil or natural gas generated electricity, or for that part, nuclear. The fact of the matter is these electrical renewable sources just are not. For example, as you may not be aware, but the sun does set every day, and it's been doing that quite regularly for millions of years.
Really, so Greg? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and,
about
that.
So, and what you see here, so of course solar is only available It might be 35% to 40% of the year, and part of that's due to nighttime. But also, the wind often disappears just when we need it the most, during terrible cold spells like happened in Texas a few years ago. The wind just stopped completely. And if you're in a heat wave, you've heard of the doldrums, where the wind doesn't blow. And so you can't generate wind turbine generating electricity unless the wind's actually moving the blades. So these things are not efficient. And you've had me on before where I talk about my description for what good electrical energy should be. It should be three things. It should be reliable. It should be affordable and abundant. And by abundant, that means you can produce a lot of electricity with very limited land area. And those three things can only be described for electricity generation, for nuclear, coal, and natural gas, fired electricity.
Yeah,
nuclear,
and every time – go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say nuclear is problematic because it's – with all the regulations and uber-strict regulations for nuclear here in the United States, it becomes really expensive, and it's a very long and drawn-out process to build these nuclear facilities. So we're really left with coal-fired and natural gas-fired electricity. The recent generation facilities have been mostly natural gas, but China and India, particularly China, are just going gangbusters, mining more coal and using more coal to provide the electricity their citizens not only need but want, but they need it. They've got some 800 million people in India alone, living in energy poverty. That means they either have occasional electricity or have no electricity. So they're heating, they're cooking on dried dung and wood in their homes, which of course leads to other problems, health problems.
Sure, sure. I can't help but maybe repeat something I've asked before because we've talked to each other before. When people on your side or on this side of the aisle, scientists who are arguing the actual science that what these people are asserting will only harm us, harm our economy, and hasten our speeding train to Marxism, which I assert is the whole reason for it in the first place. When you've got somebody who are dishonest brokers, they're putting forth lies and, I will say, misinformation in order to push a totally different agenda, but we keep fighting them on the facts. Is that really enough?
Well, no, it's not. They need to silence me and my colleagues here at the CO2 Coalition. We're some 200 of the top scientists and experts on energy in the world, and we tell a compelling fact-based story about the need for reliable, abundant, affordable energy. We tell a fact-based, just compelling argument on why there is no climate crisis, and also why our ecosystems are actually thriving and prospering, and the human condition is improving because of modest warming and more CO2. So we should celebrate that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're portrayed, along with anybody who discounts their narrative, as selfish. You're always selfish if you don't agree with me, right?
Well, what they don't understand, or maybe they do and they just don't, they're heartless, is the people that are pushing this are, they're talking about the poor people. We have to do this for our citizens and protect them. But they don't know that these policies that they're pushing are intentionally driving up energy costs. And when you do that, it impacts the poorest among us the most. And it seems that it's a regressive economic system, what they're pushing, which means
the
wealthy
deliberate.
Don't get hurt. Yeah.
And yeah, and they want to
like progressive. And it's not. It's a regressive energy policy.
Well, and these policies will quickly turn the middle class into the poor as well, right?
Yeah, we're seeing it. And I'm calling you from Florida, my home here, where our electricity prices have more than doubled in the last 4 years. They're bringing on more and more solar all the time. And not so much wind that I can see here in Florida, but a lot of solar. Of course, we're often approached by people promising free solar panels for your roof. You won't ever have to pay for electricity again. And so what they're doing is having my neighbors. They want my neighbors through their tax dollars to put up energy solar panels on my roof. So they're being subsidized for this. It's horrible what they're doing.
Yeah, it is a racket. That is for sure. I noticed, and of course, I'm going to talk about this next segment. I'm selectively watching news, especially so close to an election when propaganda flies indiscriminately. I noticed that all this climate change nonsense is suddenly nowhere to be found in the presidential campaign. It's not an issue that the left knows they can win on, but they can force people into it later after they hopefully don't, but could gain power. Notice, have you found that this was a hot issue?
Okay. Yeah. Well, we see with Kamala Harris. I hope I pronounced her name right. I don't want to be accused of being a racist by mispronouncing her name, but the vice president is now walking back her previous support for mandatory electric vehicles. She says, "Oh no, I'm not going to mandate with EVs for everybody." That's what they had been doing, and that's what Orwellian named Inflation Reduction Act pushed huge subsidies for just that. And people are marching with they're voting with their wallets by not buying EVs. We're seeing it around the world. We're seeing it in the United States. We saw that Ford Motor Company lost $44,000 for every electric vehicle they sold. That was well north of $1 billion just this past year of losses. That's unsustainable. It's hard for me to believe that there won't be the shareholders of Ford and some of these other companies aren't going to rise up like they did to force them back and away from diversity, equity, and inclusion. This next thing to go is going back away from EV mandates and green energy.
Well, but, you know, once you have power, once you've gotten away with the scam and you've lied, then you can force people to do anything because you've got the power. What bothers me is the level of gullibility among some who, if they don't see it in front of them, they forget. Greg Wrightstone, how can people find you at the CO2 Coalition?
Go to co2coalition.org, co2coalition.org, and learn the truth.
That was easy. Greg Wrightstone, always a pleasure to have you. Best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll wrap up the show with some thoughts and comments of mine when we get back on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Well, I'm so excited to be here today to kick off our Sisterhood of Strength campaign in support of BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So Knitwell Group houses 8 iconic brands, and we've got 45,000 associates. Most of them are women, and we reached 20 million customers, women customers. So Sisterhood of Strength campaign is really an important initiative for us in support of BCRF. By bringing together our amazing brands, Ann Taylor, Loft, White House Black Market, Chico, Soma, Talbots, Lane Bryant, we believe that we can reach the goal of $10 million. There are several ways that you can get involved, but most importantly, head to one of our stores. We've got 3,000 stores across the country, and all of our associates are ready to welcome you and talk about how you can support the cause. Go online to bcrf.org or knitwellgroup.com and inform yourself on how you can support the Sisterhood of Strength campaign.
The U.S. is seeing one of the most significant COVID-19 surges in the last 2 years. It is a reminder that the virus is still a threat for severe infections. Updated vaccines are now available nationwide. Dr. Jerome Adams, former U.S. Surgeon General, explains why staying up to date on your COVID-19 vaccine is essential.
The uptake of the 2023-2024 flu vaccine was more than double that of the updated COVID-19 vaccine. And yet, COVID-19 hospitalization rates are higher than the flu, regardless of age or health conditions. Staying up to date with your COVID-19 vaccine remains one of the best ways to help protect yourself and your loved ones from severe illness. Even if you've had COVID-19 this summer, you should still get vaccinated, as data shows that it can give you protection that lasts twice as long as immunity from the infection itself.
To find an updated COVID-19 vaccine near you, please visit vaccines.gov. Or for more information, speak to your healthcare provider.
The back-to-school season is a busy time of year, and I've partnered with a few brands to help make it a little bit easier and healthier. First, for lunch, turn to Lunchables. They are a convenient, affordable, stress-free option that can help make mealtime easy and fun while also fueling kids through the day. They're available nationwide in these conveniently packaged single-serve kits, which are perfect for lunchboxes. Now, back-to-school season is also a great time for the whole family to hone in on their health and wellness. And Solgar's new age-defying nutrition line of supplements is powered by clinically studied ingredients to help support joints, muscles, memory, hair, skin, and eyes. You can find them at the Vitamin Shop stores and vitaminshop.com. And for a wholesome after-school snack that kids will love, turn to Farm Rich, which is one of America's favorite frozen snack brands. Everyone loves their mozzarella sticks, which are made with real mozzarella cheese, so they contain protein and calcium. For more, you can head to my website, nutritionbymia.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And it is always a pleasure when I'm asked and when my schedule allows to fill in and be part of the regular backup team here at the Main Street Radio Network. Sometimes I get a chance to wax philosophic, as I can do in a variety of venues. And I thought I would take this opportunity now. First off, if you care to, you can visit my website, KarenCataline.com. Last name spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. And I have a couple of interesting things up there with headlines like, how have assassination attempts become commonplace in America? That really concerns me that we aren't understanding the enormity of 2 assassination attempts in an election year of a former president. And it's like, by the media, it doesn't matter. They're trying to downplay it. I'm sure, God forbid, if it happened on the other side, you'd never hear the end of it. And they're telegraphing that it just doesn't matter if you don't like the guy, which is, and of course, they've been trying to push hatred and lies about Trump, things that are provably false about him. And so I guess it's okay to lose your heart and lose your soul if you don't like somebody. And I read a statistic where 26% roughly of Democrats want, God forbid, Trump to be assassinated. So political assassinations, the epitome of election interference is a-okay as long as it's somebody you disagree with, the exact antithesis of everything we believe in America about civility, justice, truth, equal justice, and hearing people out, and everything America has stood for and what has made it great. I make no secret of the fact that it is quite clear that America is indeed under attack. There's a picture, and this is, I post a lot of these episodes of the Main Street Radio Network and the shows that I do here at my website, but you can also, of course, hear it at the Main Street Radio Network, which is the main hub to do that, themainstreetradionetwork.com. On my website, there's a picture of a house that was built as if it looks upside down, with the headline, "Has the World Turned Upside Down?" Many people wonder just that. And to that end, I have a couple of comments about things we used to believe as a given that are really, at least in my opinion, no longer really true. Certain things we thought were given, like be an informed citizen, read a newspaper, partake of the media, hear all sides, and make sure that you're a well-informed citizen by knowing what's going on in the world. Well, that used to be true. A lot of us who, especially in the media or journalists who do talk show, whether it's opinion, that line has blurred, but in fact, opinion journalism and actual reportage should be different, ought to be different, but today are not. So I submit that we're living in a totally different time today in which if you know again and again and again, and we saw examples of this in our previous hour and this past hour, when you've concluded that there is a pattern of behavior of lying to the public, of the propaganda media putting out nothing but propaganda with no facts in evidence whatsoever, including, just as an example, that somehow Donald Trump incited violence on January 6th when they continued to ignore the evidence. We all sat there and watched what Donald Trump said publicly, and yet they want you to simply not believe your lying eyes or your lying ears. Once you know that the entity and the purveyor of information and news has been deeply and profoundly compromised, I think you have a duty to ignore or certainly discount what they say. This is particularly true in an election year. We're only weeks away from an election. An election. I'm talking too fast. My brain is going too fast for my mouth. When propaganda is at the highest level possible, polls are telling us that Kamala Harris is 5 points ahead so that they can demoralize the opposition, make people believe, well, Trump's going to lose and so I shouldn't vote. All of it is to interfere with the election. We know we have facts that conservative views have been censored. Conservative views have been shut down on social media. And it only becomes apparent 3, 4, 5 years later when it doesn't matter anymore, which is why the great Rush Limbaugh used to call it the drive-by media. They would commit the crime, but it takes years to prove it, to even get people to pay attention. And by then, the media and everyone else is saying, ah, that's old news, it doesn't matter. Meanwhile, the people who have violated the First Amendment rights, and for that matter, many more rights guaranteed to us by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, our rights have been violated, but people are saying, well, that's old news, give it up, don't worry about it. And that's just more propaganda. So my point here is, I think in today's world, it is perfectly okay. Once you know an entity has betrayed their role to be an accurate or at least fair presentation of news, and they are trying to create opinion instead of report opinion, do not believe the polls. Do not believe the news. Yes, you can believe the fact, God forbid, and unfortunately, assassination attempts continue because there are people who do not want fair elections in this country. So don't be afraid to ignore or discount media, and keep asking, what is the source of this media and what is their axe to grind? These days, it has never been more obvious what axes people are grinding. And that means you can criticize your own too, if you want, because free speech means exactly that. That's all for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.